Hello, welcome once again to the Candid Cast. It's my pleasure to have once again in studio a familiar friend, my sister, author, mother, counselor, school proprietor. How many things will I use to introduce? You're already familiar with her because she featured about 2 weeks ago. Meet Mrs. Mercy Osunodatowa. You are welcome, my sister.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. It's such a pleasure to be here again.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, at your last appearing, I introduced your book, Out of the Ashes. And one of the feedbacks that I got was that I didn't say the title. I just asked people, you can buy this book at Super 7. And people were saying, why didn't you give us the title? We don't even know the title. I thought holding it was enough. Today, I don't have it to hold. But it's Out of the Ashes by Mercy Osunodatowa. Please look out for it. It's a book that is worth reading. That answers that feedback. And there are a lot of positive feedbacks we have been discussing. You can really come out to be more than what you are today. We are in a country where the complaints are too many. A lot of people have not realized who they should be to come out of their shell and become fulfilled. So that is the line in which we'll be continuing questioning with some questions that I'll be asking you today to give more clarification, because you are a role model, you are a person who has passed through it and have come out. Before we continue, I want to request our audience to please click the notification button. Some of you will ask me to send the message to you on WhatsApp. Click notification button. You get notified as soon as we publish. We publish every Monday. You will see it by yourself without waiting for me to send on WhatsApp or share on Facebook. And please do share it to your friends as well, so that we reach a wider audience. Thank you. Now to my friend, my sister, you are welcome once again.
Thank you, sir.
I want to ask you, you know, as somebody who has transited from where you are coming from to a life coach, today you are a teacher, you are a proprietor of a school, you have a lot of people under you. And you mentioned in the last episode that your principal, though a female, was shouting it down your head that women are to be seen,
ladies are to be seen and not to be heard.
So today, how do you relate with children under your care, and what testimony will they carry about you later in life? Because as you are sharing of your principal, those coming after you will share of you.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, sir. In fact, the experience I had, you know, made me to have a different view altogether. That was one of the things that even, you know, necessitated my having to start up a school. Because, okay, I mean, I had told myself that I have certain things I want to teach children. I want to build self-confidence in children. I want them to have good self-image. I want to make children feel celebrated. Yes. I want to, you know, help them to discover the purpose of God for creating them. I want to bring out their innate ability. I want to make them feel very, very important, because, you know, these are the people that will build
tomorrow.
The society tomorrow, the ones that will build. So we are building the people that will build a nation tomorrow. Yeah. So, I mean, for these people to be able to really do this, they need to be in a good place, good mindset, good self-image. And that's what I do with my children. My children are always happy to see me, because they know that, you know, I pump in strength into them. I pump courage into them. I pump energy.
Can do spirit.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You
sir.
See, in these days, a lot of youths, like my mother used to tell us that nobody gave birth to children to advise them that when you grow up, you should be an armed robber. Everybody give good advice to children.
Yeah.
But you have some, as an educationist, how do you drive home the point to make sure that beyond hearing these people, I know it's not everybody that will eventually go and do, just like even in the churches, you teach and teach and teach and preach every day.
Yeah.
But are there methods of teaching that can be adopted to make sure more people get to do what they learn rather than just hearing?
Okay, are we talking about in a school setting?
Both school, your life is a school now because you teach both in the classroom, outside the classroom, people around you, you know.
Oh, yes.
When we are growing up, I mentioned that it takes a community in the African mm-hmm. society. We mm-hmm. say it takes a community to raise a child. Yeah. Everybody is a teacher.
That's right.
In the African society. So whether in school setting or outside school setting,
yeah. mm-hmm.
whether in the church, in the school, in the
yes.
society,
yes.
how do you get people to do what they learn? Because we learn too much, we do too little.
Yes. So, you know, the most powerful way of passing across a message to someone, it's by you, first of all, doing.
Okay.
You know, so...
Personal example.
Exactly. Personal mm. example. Children tend to do more and faster what they see you do rather than what they hear you say
okay.
to them.
Yeah.
You know, so if you really, really want children to learn something, then you, first of all, do that thing. As they watch you do that thing, they would grow into doing that thing. You know, it's mm. not just about talking and talking and talking, because you can talk from now until tomorrow. If they don't see you, if your life does not demonstrate what you're saying, it's not going to make as much impact as when you are doing that thing. That's why servant leadership is so key. You know, you want somebody to sweep the floor, you first of all demonstrate that sweeping. You know,
yeah.
as you demonstrate, the other person nah. watching you is learning how to do that, and in no distant yeah. time he would even request that you give him or her the broom to do the
yeah.
sweeping. You know, so as we lead by example, you know, people get to learn. And it's so important that the younger generation leverages on the experiences of the older generation.
Yeah.
Because by so doing, you save yourself a lot of problems. You save yourself a lot of headaches, you know, because these ones have already demonstrated, they've already lived out, you know, an example for you. So
yeah.
yours is just to leverage on what they have already done, and it makes you run faster. It makes you move effortlessly, you know, but it reduces your stress level. It reduces the amount of effort you would have put in because somebody has already done that thing that you are struggling to do. So it's important to just leverage on it. It gives you a lot of advantage as a young person.
Thank you so much. What you have said now has put a lot of fear in me as a person. Because when learning is from examples, you find why teaching becomes very difficult in our society. Many people who are excellencies today cannot show anything excellent in their lives. And that's what people... yesterday you are governor, today you are arraigned by EFCC, 100 billion naira missing.
It's
so
a big challenge.
What example are we leaving for children to say, work hard? If I work hard, when will I get 100 billion?
That's right.
And look at this person that cannot even write his name.
Mm-hmm.
They are talking of 100 billion, 200 billion. The type of money they mention these
what's
days.
What's the use going to school?
Is why our children are saying education is a scam.
Mm.
It comes from that learning more from what they see.
That's right.
Than from what they hear. Please, that speaks to people in leadership position. Please, let's know that our life is not about us.
That's right.
People are watching. The next generation is watching. Let's do some things with some level of reservation and do it differently.
Yes.
The society will be better for everybody. Thank you for raising that point.
Thank you, sir.
And I will use that opportunity also to tell the young ones, learn to distinguish good example from bad example.
Mm-hmm. It's
because
so important.
Evil will always have a payday. Those people,
right.
If you are excellency today, why will you want to be in EFCC tomorrow? Answering questions inside the dock and the lawyers who couldn't come near your car at the time you were governor are now coming. Look at the policeman that was paying you salute, that was your escort. We now slap you and put you inside, sir. And lock and
because
put padlock there.
And
because
greed.
Of selfishness and greed. So it pays to be righteous.
Oh, yes.
So let's take the example of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is something Jesus said about the hypocrites. He said, do what they say,
mm-hmm.
but not what they do. So you find that these people that are standing in EFCC, They all stood on the podium with microphone to fight corruption. So do what they say, but not what they do. So the practice of righteousness is learning to do what they say, because they say righteous things, but they don't do righteous things.
That's the problem.
they don't do righteous things. But your life will be better if you do the right thing.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the angle at which you took that question.
Thank you.
Then I will now ask you, you know, you spoke so much about everyone being gifted. So, and you find a lot of people struggle with self-esteem, particularly in our world today. Many people believe that if you are born black, you're already disadvantaged. Well, so that is a self-esteem issue.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to be, the people who drive the biggest car, the newest car, they are more in Nigeria, where we call poverty capital of the world, and so much hunger everywhere. What are we struggling with? It's all self-esteem.
It is.
The place where you live, I want to live in a 10 billion naira house. It's all self-esteem. It's the same bed, it's the same space, and everything. So how do we tackle this self-esteem issue?
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I think I would like to start by saying that we need to, first of all, know who we are.
Yeah.
It's important that we get to know who we are. This artist, Sinach, sang a song saying, "I know who I am."
Yeah.
It's important to know that, you know, we are the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, okay.
You should know that you are the best version of yourself. There is no one else as good as you. You are the best of you.
Your uniqueness.
You are unique. You are special. You know, the psalmist said, "He knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Marvelous are your works."
Exactly. These are some truths you need to get to start telling yourself. Have self-talk with yourself. You know, and get to understand, you know, your uniqueness. You are not just here to complete the number of people walking on the street. No. You are a person of destiny.
Yes.
You are so important. That's why, you know, you don't have to struggle to be like another person. You are not in competition with anybody.
Yeah.
Because by the time you want to be like another person, you lose your uniqueness.
That's true.
You become a second-hand. Have you seen a second-hand vehicle before? These are used vehicles.
Second-hand is even better than it. Become a fake.
Oh,
because if it's second-hand, it's still the same. Second-hand 504 is still 504.
But it's been used. It's not the original. You know, I mean, it's not the real.
It become a fake completely.
Exactly.
It's not even the real something.
Exactly.
It's so not you, from the same factory.
That's it. So you move from being yourself to being another person. And before you realize it, your life is so confused because you've not been able to identify your uniqueness, your specialty, you know. So I always, advise people to see themselves the way God sees them. God sees you as a fearful and wonderful person.
Yes, carved uniquely.
He sees you, exactly. He sees you as a chosen generation.
Yeah.
You know, so you are chosen. He handpicked you. God handpicked you. He took his time in creating you.
Wow.
You are not a mass product, a mass production. I mean, part of a mass produced, you know,
item.
You are not. You were uniquely made for a particular purpose.
Wow.
So these are truths we need to come to terms with.
Yes.
Stop running the rat race, trying to be like someone else, trying to compete. No. Take it easy with your life. Take it easy with yourself. There is time for everything. At the fullness of time, the Bible says God sent his son. At the fullness of time, what you're running after would come to you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar
person.
You know, there are so many things that makes you unique. Each and every one of us is different. There are no two people that are the same. Your hair color, your eye color is different. The way you smile is different from the next person's own. Your height is different. All of these are things that distinguishes you and makes you unique. Your shape, It doesn't matter what it looks like. That's you. That's how God made you. You know, even if you're short or tall, that's the best version of you. And it's something you should celebrate. It's something you should be happy about. And you know, people would address you based on the way you see yourself.
Yes.
You know, people would, I mean, the way you see yourself is the way people will take you. That's why it's good for you to have a good self-image. Get to know who you are and celebrate yourself. And go to places where you are celebrated as well. You know,
not where you are tolerated.
Not where you're tolerated, but where you're celebrated. Where you're celebrated. But I want the point I want to make here is that you are very unique. You have giftings, you have talent, you have abilities. You know that distinguishes you. It doesn't have to be like the next person's own. Yours is that unique one that God has given to you. You know, and celebrate it and develop it and just make it great. You know.
Thank you very much. You know. When you were speaking, I just remember when I said, if everyone were to be a Dangote, who would drive the trailer?
Exactly.
And
that's true.
If we're all managing directors, how will our estate be cleaned?
True.
So everyone is important in his own right.
Everybody.
It's for you to recognize that uniqueness in you, that you have a service you have been created to render.
That's right.
You render, be happy in your own space. You are created for that service.
That's
God
right.
is not going to hold you accountable for not being a good MD when you are created to be a messenger.
That's right.
So if you are created to be a messenger, run that message well and be accountable to God. Know that it's only God you are accountable to at the end of the day.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I want to add something. So the fact that you are not on the stage lights are not on you, does not in any way make you less than the person that is on the stage at all.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, just imagine, just like you have said, if, take for instance, you know, the big programs we have in church, you have musicians on the stage, on the platform, and then some of us are on the congregation, you know, worshiping from the congregation. So now, if you are not on the congregation, who is going to respond to the song that the song leader is singing? He would be all there by himself.
Singing for himself.
For himself. You see, so we all occupy very important roles at every point in time of our lives. You at the background, what you are doing at the background, it's very, very important. The sound man, for instance, if the sound guy is not there, for goodness sake, who is going to produce the sound for the musician to sing? So everybody is important. We all have something to offer. We all have something to bring to the table. We all have it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That takes me to another thing that strikes me very well in your book is the need for relationships. You know, you said that life is about relationships. And you mentioned that you found out that relationship can give what money cannot give. Can you expatiate on that and let people know the need to build relationships?
Just as you have said, it's a relationship, a great tool that God created to enable humans forge ahead in life. You know, that's why God put all of us in families. He brought the man, he created the man, and he said, no, it's not good for a man to be alone. So he made a companion for him. And they became two. I mean, why didn't he? It so happened that he didn't make two men. Neither did he make two women. But he made a man and a woman so that they can multiply.
Each other.
Exactly, complement each other and then multiply and grow and create a family. You know, so it's so important. That's why he put us in families. He made me to be born into a family. He made each and every one of us to be born into a family because of relationship. You know, even the Bible says that when one falls, the other one would help to lift up.
Say, woe to he that is alone when he falls.
Exactly. You know, so it's so important that we value every relationship that God brings into our lives. Don't trivialize that relationship. Don't trivialize, don't look down on that person that God has brought to your life, because that may just be what God, the tool, the person that God will use to bring you to the next level. Relationships are key. We can never make it alone. They said, if you want to go far,
Go alone.
If you want to go far, you should go alone. And if you want to go fast, you should.
If you want to go fast, go alone.
But if you want to go far, go with people. That goes to show you how important relationship is, or relationships, you know, are. So, it's important. Very important. Such a blessing to have people around us. Even the Bible says that the wealth of a king is in the people he commands.
Yes,
the people he commands.
Yeah. If you are a king, we said in leadership, if you are a leader without a follower, John Maxwell said you are taking a walk. You are taking a walk until there are people. Then, still dwelling on this relationship issue, you look at, there is nothing man can really become standing by himself. Just imagine you are a manufacturer.
That's right.
True. With no customer.
True.
you need to relate with customer. Exactly. If you are a managing director without a subordinate,
that's it.
What type of managing director are you? Absolutely. So everything about life is
without children.
So what type of you just build a school, you are the only one there. You don't have people.
Oh my God.
So there are no, so until there is relationship. And when we are in need, that's when you find that somebody said that what you need is two connections away. So you just know somebody who knows somebody, and you find that
you are there.
I remember the story of how late Dora Akunyili became DG of NAFDAC, that it was said that she worked in PTF, Petroleum Trust Fund, under Buhari, and was so honored. She was the only government worker that takes money, travel, render account to the last one kobo, and make a refund.
Wow.
People forged receipt to cover. So when Obasanjo became president and was tired of fake drugs and the rest, and needed an honest person to sanitize NAFDAC,
he looked for her.
He mentioned it before Dr. Sholeye, former finance minister, and Dr. Sholeye said, Buhari used to talk of one Igbo woman that is so honest. And as Buhari, who is the president, Dora Akunyili, they went to call. She wasn't there. She didn't apply.
Wow.
She did not lobby. And that's what how she related to Buhari at that time. Her integrity.
That's right.
Everything played out and connected. She became somebody that they were talking about behind her back. So most of us, if you want to talk about us behind our back,
what are they going to say about you?
Because whether you do good, people will talk.
That's right.
Whether you do bad, people will talk.
So
do the good that you want them to. They spoke about Dora Akunyili. Do you think when she heard that they were discussing her behind her back, that she was angry?
Oh, no.
She wouldn't be angry. Oh, they were discussing my integrity, my honesty, being a distinguished person. And that relationship brought her to become DG of NAFDAC. Before then, nobody knew her name.
Mm.
But she died celebrated, a national hero, somebody that she had opportunity to showcase the gift and talent that God has deposited in her because of that relationship that she built. Let's not destroy relationships. When you meet people, whether high or low,
just relate.
You don't know when you will meet again.
That's right.
So that will take me to the next question that I want to ask you about this peer pressure of 18. You know, we are talking about uniqueness. What makes people to lose their uniqueness? You are in a school system. You are raising children. Every time they talk about peer group, peer pressure, and all that, can we fight the peer influences? We have heard of a student killing another student in school, bullying, all that. They are all born out of that peer pressure.
Yeah.
From home, you live with your brother, you live with your sister, you're not killing each other. In the school, you are supposed to relate as a family like that. The next person that is coming, the way we related. I know now there are schools where, you know, when we're in the boarding house, you must have your cutlery complete. Stainless steel, fork, knife, and spoon.
Yeah.
Now you can't carry knife to school because they say, they're using
it's
to
like
stab.
A tool.
Yeah, it's a tool. They're using to stab each other. How did we get there?
That's a big one. You know, I think the family has a lot to do here. the family, because in a school setting, for instance, these children have come from different places. They have all come from different families, different family backgrounds, different upbringings, you know, and then they all come together and they find themselves together. You know, those who have poor habits are there. The ones that have good habits are there. The ones that were well brought up from home are there. The ones that, you know, had issues at home, they are all there. And, you know, children carry the things they see their parents do. The children sometimes even carry the burden, you know, that they have back at home to school. When they watch their parents do certain things, they get pressured.
Domestic violence.
Yeah, exactly. Domestic violence. And, you know, most of the time these children can't even, they can't confront their parents because they're still young. They can't, they don't have a voice. Their parents don't really give them that voice, so they're not able to talk. But, you know, these things are bottled up inside. And then they go to school with all of these emotions. And some of them, when they get to school, you know, they want to just vent out because they have carried so much inside. And our school system, our government is not even encouraging us enough by setting up counseling systems, you know, working counseling systems in our schools. So you find out that most of these children, you know, they go to schools where they are not able to access the help of a counselor. So, you know, they just they do things that are antisocial. They exhibit antisocial behaviors because they have found they learned it at home. Some of them actually learned it back at home. I mean, when they see their parents fighting, what is that? That's an antisocial behavior, you know, back at home. So the children learn it because, like we said earlier on, they learn by seeing. You know, they learn more the things they see. You know, so they come to school and they want to demonstrate the same things they find out. Some of these things are just spirits. You may think the child is not seeing you. It's not. No, he's seeing you. He's picking up all of those things. And it just comes involuntarily. I mean, it comes without effortlessly. You know, it's an involuntary act. And yeah, these are some of the ways children influence each other, influence themselves negatively. Negatively, some children watch their parents drink alcohol in school. Back at home. And then when they come home, and when they get to school and see their peers, they talk their peers into it. You know, they tell their peers to just taste, just have a little taste of it. It don't do you anything. Just taste it. I drink this at school. I mean, I drink this at home. We do this in my house. We do this. We do that. Exactly. It makes you high. Makes you feel a certain way. It makes you feel good. And, you know, by the time they keep pressuring this other child that has come from a home where he or she may not have been exposed to some of these things, before you realize it,
the inquisitive mind of the child
begins to play out. You know, he wants to try, he wants to see what it tastes, what this alcohol or whatever, what this drink, this smoke, whatever, what it tastes like. And then the girls on the other side, you know, they would come up and tell their stories of the man that gave them
iPhone.
And then when you trace into how she got that iPhone, of course, you know that somebody has taken advantage of her. And she brings the iPhone and she shows it to her friend. The friend wants to have an iPhone as well. You know, so she begins to try to inquire as to how she got, and then she would, you know, so she would tell her how she got the iPhone. It's not going to kill you. It's to rather add some money into your pocket when you have a relationship with this guy and all of that and all of that. And you find children, you find young adults influencing themselves, pressuring themselves into antisocial behaviors. It still boils down to the fact that we should get to know, as a teenager, get to know who you are. You know, you should be able to say no when you need to. You have to be assertive. You know, say no when you need to say no. Be bold enough to say no when you need to say no. And yes when you need to say yes. Don't let anybody pressurize you into doing things that, you know, you don't have the liberty, that you don't feel free, right, in your spirit to do. understand who you are, understand your uniqueness, understand that you are not measured by the things you have. Your importance is not measured based on the things you have all. You are a lot much more important than things, than you know.
Your possession.
So, exactly. So by the time you understand this, you know, you... One of the things I have said is that you have to be assertive. Mm. You need to know what you want. You should be able to say no when you need to say no. You should be able to say yes when you need to say... You should be able to stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for what you believe in and be bold about it. I know that if you do this, you may be isolated at some point, you know. Yeah,
there's always a price to pay.
Exactly. And exactly.
It's a good price.
A good price. You may be isolated, or every other person is doing the same thing except you. They would make fun of you, make jest of you, and all of that. Never mind. If you continue to stay on that path, you will get to a point where all of them will be convinced that, oh, this person is really different. This person is really fully persuaded about her beliefs. And in no distant time, they would come back. The same people trying to pressurize you will come back to you
to celebrate
you, because they want to know why you're so unique. They want to know why you're different. They want to know why you're not doing the same thing that they are doing. And, you know, you turn a celebrity at the end of the day. Yeah. Mm. Even though it may cost you some things along the line.
Thank you so much. We have spent quite a bit of time, and there is so much to take out of this. We know that a man's life is not comprised of the abundance of
things
what
he possesses.
He possesses. Your self-worth and net worth are two different things.
That's right.
We should not allow our net worth to determine our self-worth. It is not in the volume of money. Mm-hmm. We have also learned today that whatever behavior we put up, as leaders in the home, as leaders in the political space, that the next generation is watching.
It's watching.
They learn more from what they see.
That's right.
Than what
you tell them.
We tell them. So those are lessons, facts of life we are taking today. We have also learned that we are unique as
individuals,
and that even identical twins don't have identical thumbprints.
No, no.
So you can't use your twin brother's fingerprint. It will not work.
So
we need to maintain our
so
uniqueness, identity. Mm. It will help us to forge for our head be who God
really
wants us to be. Thank you very much for staying tuned to the Candid Cast. I'll say God bless you for listening.
Amen.
And my guest, thank you for showing up once again.
Sir. Thank
we
you.
We missed you last week.
Oh, I missed you too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Such a pleasure being here.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.